listening live.
Because that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Here with us today for our Bracketology Spectacular, a man who needs no introduction, a man who is coming for his triumphant return, using the word triumphant very loosely, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, the longtime, and I do mean longtime columnist of the Lexington Herald Leader, John Clay. John, I haven't seen you in 7 months now. It's good to see you again.
It's been that long?
Time flies when we're having fun, right? Yes, exactly.
When did we first do this?
We did this back in August.
Times were much better.
Right before football season. While you're on football, real quick, we're going to get the brackets hard and heavy in just a second. UK went 10-3 in football. They're a football school now, right?
That's right. And if I remember correctly, of course, 7 months is a long time ago, you were giving me a hard time, and you were especially giving my colleague Mark Story a hard time because you said we were too optimistic. Turns out we were not optimistic enough.
You know, we live through the windshield, not the rearview mirror here, John Clay.
You're the one who said you wanted to bring up football.
Well, we wanted to bring up football real quick, since Kentucky's a football school now. They went 10-3 last year. Right. Are they going to win 10 games this year?
No.
Although you lost your best player, best defensive player of all time, best running back of all time. And you still have touchback. We call him touchback Terry Wilson, not touchdown Terry Wilson. He gets you far enough where your punter can reach the end zone. Touchback Terry Wilson. They're going to be any good this year? 8 home games and Arkansas out of the West, the easiest schedule you can imagine.
They're not going to win 10 games.
Not going to win 10.
No. I think they'll be, you know, what they normally are, excluding last year. They're going to be right around the 6-7 wins. Get enough wins to go to a bowl. But they lost. They didn't just lose Josh Allen on defense. They lost Mike Edwards. They lost Jordan Jones. They lost a bunch of guys. Darius West on defense. There's a lot of holes to fill on defense. And so the offense, in offense, you lose Benny Snell. You do have touchdown Terry. Terry touchdown. Terry turnover. Terry touchback. Whatever you want to call
him. Touchback.
Whatever you want to call
him. We're copywriting that here on the bottom line.
Have to be a big money maker for you, probably.
Yeah. This show needs money, ladies and gentlemen. Please hit money. Go fund me. We're waiting on you.
So, no, I don't think. Schedule's a little more advantageous and with the 8 home games, and you're right, Arkansas. But I still think it's going to be a tough go on defense.
I hope your good friend Mark Story, who still does not reply to us. We've sent emails. We've tweeted him. We said, you can come on this show and say anything you want to say. Insult us in any way you want to. Nothing. It's like the tumbleweeds past the desert. And I know you talked to this guy. So, you might want to send the word. He's got an open invitation to come on this show anytime he wants.
But you might want to tell him
before this tournament starts that Kentucky can win the NCAA tournament. They can't win the NIT, the CIT, the CBI. They can't win the Boys Sweet 16 they had a couple weeks ago. UK cannot win those. I'm sure he was sitting there like, wow, UK can run circles around these kids out here. Why aren't they here? Yeah, exactly. So, yes, Mark Story, you have an invitation to join us anytime you want, although you haven't replied to us yet. Reasons unknown. We'll just leave it at that. But let's get into the bracket, John Clay. That's why we're here. This is a national holiday. Bracket Monday.
Right.
You were in Nashville this past weekend.
Correct.
Your thoughts on how Kentucky played and how the SEC tournament as a whole played out?
I thought Kentucky played okay. They played well in the first game. Tennessee, they played for 37 minutes. They played pretty well. I mean, they got an 8-point lead with 2:58 to go or whatever it was. And I thought, you can say they collapsed down the stretch. Tennessee's experience showed through. Well, you got an 8-point lead with under 3 minutes to go. You should win the game. So if that's your definition of blowing it.
I don't know. Calipari had a 9-point lead with Memphis with 2 minutes to go in a national championship game once. Blames it on missed free throws, but I digress.
That was another job in another decade ago.
Oh, okay. There he is. Protecting his phony baloney job, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought Tennessee's experience showed up at the end. They had experienced players, Grant Williams, Jordan Bone, guys like that, and the kid who hit the big three. He was abysmal against Kentucky in the previous two games. I think he was 4-for-21 and 0-for-11 from three, and he ends up hitting the big shot that basically won the game for Tennessee. I don't think Kentucky's going to play too many teams in the NCAA tournament any better than Tennessee. They were right there with them and had the lead, so they just need to. The one thing that hurt them in that game and this is something to watch in the very first game that they play, is turnovers. Ashton Hagans is a little loose with the ball. Hero makes turnovers. He had the walking call there in the backcourt right after they kind of started the spiral downhill. And Abilene Christian, who they placed not to get ahead here, going on to NCAA, but Abilene Christian is a team that I think they are, according to my notes here, I think they're eighth in the nation in forcing turnovers and turnover percentage. So that's, you know, something to watch for. But, you know, I think, like I say, I think Tennessee, despite what happened to them in the SEC finals, I think Auburn hit 15 threes. Auburn was playing out of their minds. It had to take a little bit out of Tennessee. I always hate it when Kentucky fans say, I told you, you know, they took everything they had to beat Kentucky, and now, you know, they turn around and flop. That always happens to teams. I hate it when they say that. But in this case, I think it was such an emotional and intense game. Maybe Tennessee had a hard time getting back up to 100% for that next game and playing and Auburn's red hot. I think they've won 8 in a row.
You talk about Abilene Christian. Somebody's been looking at the Ken Pomeroy website, because I have that written down, eighth in turnover percentage. That's the only note I have on Abilene Christian, is that they forced turnovers. Stole all my material on Abilene Christian already, John Clay. Have you been looking at my notes over here? So how do you think it was, going back to the SEC? And I want to give shout-outs to my good friend Gina Mack in Nashville, who attended this tournament and literally told me before it started it would be Tennessee and Auburn in the championship game. She's a breast cancer survivor, so I told her, and I told her when she told me Tennessee and Auburn, I said, you've been drinking too much. So, yes, I apologize, Gina Mack, and props to you for your expert selection. You talk about a bandwagon jumper. Yeah, she wore a Tennessee shirt in there one day, then the next day she's rooting for Auburn. There you go. That shows you my friends for you. Another story for another time. How do you think LSU losing early, mm-hmm. Will Wade not coaching? Mm-hmm. First of all, should he be coaching? We've seen this before, Sean Miller at Arizona last year. It's the same kind of similar situation. They let him coach. You know,
they don't have Sean on a wiretap, I don't think.
They didn't have him on a wiretap?
They may have him on a wiretap, but it hasn't gotten out public.
But it just hasn't gotten public.
Well, I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying that it hasn't come out. If they do, it hasn't come out publicly.
But Will Wade, like they do have on the wiretap.
They do have a wiretap. According to Yahoo Sports.
Let me get this straight now. He can't coach,
correct,
but the player who got the money can now play.
Well, the player, yeah.
He's playing now. He got one game suspension. I guess that's enough. We got tournament time. You got to get out there, son. Yeah.
That's right.
What's the reasoning behind that?
I don't know. I'm not the LSU AD. The story going around in Nashville down there at the tournament was that the reason that Wade was suspended is because he would not come in and talk to the LSU officials about what was on the report. And the reason he would not come in and talk to him is because his attorneys told him not to, because they think he's going to get subpoenaed in April on one of these other guys who's coming up for trial. And anything that he told the LSU people when he met with them, his administrators and boss, that could be subpoenaed as part of public record, as they're a public institution, and could be brought back and used against him if he is subpoenaed in the trial. This is a lot of legalese, I know. But
Very interesting. This is LA law for you 80s kids like myself.
I brought this podcast to a grinding halt.
it was brought to a grinding halt before you ever showed up, believe me. That's neither
why,
here nor there.
Why he's not coaching and why – I can – certainly understand why he's not coaching. Why Javonte Smart is allowed to play, I don't know. Other than, you know, they don't have any proof that Smart took money or that his family took money or whatever. So, but, you know, it's pretty – I mean, you got to admit, it's pretty incriminating what Will Wade said.
It's very incriminating on the
wiretap. So, you know, it would look pretty foolish. There was also talk there that the SEC office sort of suggested strenuously to LSU that, hey, you might want to hold him out of the tournaments because it's going to be a – circus. It'll be a zoo here if Will Wade shows up. None of the questions are going to be about the game. All the questions are going to be about, you know, this wiretap and your situation with the NCAA. So
the regular season champion, LSU,
correct,
coach is no longer coaching.
Correct.
The tournament champion, Auburn, Bruce Pearl, couldn't coach for 5 years because of a barbecue.
He lied about the barbecue.
Well, he lied about a barbecue. There's got to be more. That just doesn't sound right.
Well, he didn't recognize a picture of his own house.
And then they walk into it and say, don't you take the picture down? Don't you have enough? Anyway. So he's got Chuck Person,
who's already pled guilty, I believe, or is about to go to trial. I get confused about who's done what on that. But anyway, he's accused of in the corruption bribery trial. And now he's got another assistant who's been suspended because he allegedly took a bribe when he was an assistant coach at Penn. So, you know.
You're just confusing me now, John Clay.
LSU, you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Now,
that's
something we could agree with right there. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, because we learned all of our life lessons from 80s professional wrestlers. So, yes, absolutely right down our alley. LSU in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Can't
Three
trust
seeded.
Them, can you?
No, no. Although I think they're a really hard team to play. They're a really hard matchup because they got some guys underneath. Najri can go outside and play inside. He's really athletic. That Calvin Taylor is, he's really athletic. The underrated guy I think on the team is Big B Williams, who's like a rebound machine around the basket. Waters is a really good point guard. The thing that hurt him in the game against Florida is Mays was terrible. The Skylar Mays, I think he made one or two shots the whole game. He hurt him. If there's a bad matchup with Florida, they played three games against Florida. They split overtime games in the regular season, and then it goes down to the end again in the tournament. So they can make some noise in the NCAA, but you can't trust them because you don't know what all this chaos is doing on the outside and what kind of effect it had. Although it probably helped them to get beat. They get in the SEC tournament. Gives them a couple extra days to come home and rest, some practice time, maybe let things settle down before they go on to the NCAA.
You don't think maybe if they win a couple of games with an unproven coach?
Well, yeah.
Because, they lose.
That's a good point.
They go 1-1 with an unproven coach. Oh, the only game we won was Vandy, and everybody beat Vandy. So it's like, now we've got a coach. Oh, do we trust this guy going to the tournament against guys who have to be on their game every night? I don't know if that's going to be the case.
As much as I hate to admit it, you make a good point there.
Well, LSU.
And that guy didn't help him in the Florida game because he got that technical foul, which you can make a case turned out to be the difference in the game.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think he was right. I thought he was right. I thought it was a bad call. I didn't think they should have counted the basket. It looked to me like the foul occurred before the basket, though the officials were slow on the whistle on that. And although Benford said he thought the whistle blew before the guy took the shot, but that certainly didn't help him. And he admitted after the game that if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't have gotten the technical, even though that he still thought that he was right and the officials were wrong.
That's just like when Cal got that technical on Saturday. I guess
it kind of
seemed
either.
Like things.
We're not sure it was Cal. We thought it was one of the assistant coaches.
The bench during that time. Out,
right.
And they come back to it. Some of us who are just watching on TV, we don't get the press side seats like you do.
You probably see more than we do.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about. We don't get the good stuff that happens between the timeouts. But that's Kentucky. Now they're number two seed.
Yes.
Preseason, they were ranked number two in the nation.
Yes.
Would you consider the regular season a disappointment? Because hey, they didn't live up to expectations. This should be a number two team of the country, number one seed. Ever since that loss to Duke early, they just kept trying to fight back, and they never got all the way back to the number one seed level that they needed to.
Well, I think it depends on, you have to look at it, it depends on how you look at it. If you look at it, okay, they were number two before the season started, then okay, yeah, it is a disappointment. They should have been, you would think it's number two going into the season. By the end of the year, you should at least be a number one seed, one of the four number one seeds. But the way they got just blasted by Duke in the first game, you think, well, this team, not only are they not number two in the country, they may not be a top 25 team. And they did finally fight back to where they got in the top 10, moved back up to 5 or 4, but they didn't win their conference, and they didn't win their conference tournament. Now, not winning your conference these days does not mean as much with the uneven schedules or whatever, unbalanced schedules,
right,
where you don't play everybody. They only played LSU one time. It doesn't mean you shouldn't put as much emphasis on that as you used to, but I wouldn't call it a disappointment necessarily. And I think we were all kind of skewed by the way they played in the Bahamas. They played so well in the Bahamas. Everybody thought, wow, this is going to be a really good team. And so, I don't know, let's see what they do. It doesn't really matter what happens before now. Let's see what they do in the tournament. If they go to the Final Four, it's been a successful season. If they don't go to the Final Four, then, yeah, it's probably been a disappointment. I mean, that's all anybody cares. Cal's right about that. That's all anybody cares about is March. What you do before March doesn't really matter. Just get ready for March, and that's the way Cal approaches it, and I think that's the right way to approach it.
Well, he seemed very happy with that draw he got yesterday.
Much happier than – well, I would be too, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. We're going to get into that in just a second. Because in previous years, he was always complaining, and I'll be honest with you, he had a right to a few of those times.
Yeah, some of them he did. Other times I think he tweaked it a little because he loves to play, us against them, everybody's against us, NCAA's against us. But this year, though, I think the draw was so good he couldn't even summons up a grumble or a complaint about this.
This was something I wanted to ask you about. A few years ago, the NCAA tournament had, they would bring in members of the media. and have kind of like a mock selection process. Yeah, Were you ever?
I did that once.
You did that once. Tell us what you learned about that mock selection process and how that went down.
Well, it was very interesting. The one thing I learned is all this stuff about people say, oh, you know, they put Kentucky and Duke together, and oh, they put Kentucky and Carolina together, and you know, they always put Kentucky and Louisville because it's good for TV. That's pretty hard to do the way it is set up
because then how come it always seems to happen that way?
Well, a lot of it is the one thing that I did. A couple things I learned there. A lot more than that, but a couple things that stuck out to me. One is location means a lot to them. They try to get teams as close, especially the teams that have done well, as a reward. They try to get them as close to home as possible because why? They want the ticket sales. I go back to before they put in the pod system, and you would go to some NCAA. I can remember going to some NCAA first and second round games. There's nobody there. There's nobody in the arena.
I would go to Atlanta. I could sit anywhere I want to sit.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So they said, hey, we got to, you know, we're losing money on this kind of deal. So let's change. Just to get them closer to home. That means a lot. But it's hard to maneuver matchups with trying to do that in the seedings. The other thing that I learned off that is there are no hard and fast set rules about how they do it. It all changes depending on the committee. The one thing I remember is back when I started out covering, I did a lot of Louisville, and when Denny Crum was the coach. And Denny would always say, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. The last 10 games are the big, because the committee, they focus on the last 10 games, how you're playing at the end of the year. They don't do that anymore. The reason they don't do that anymore is Mike Slive. When Mike Slive, the SEC commissioner, when he got on the committee, this is what they told us up there. Mike said, I disagree with that when he got to be head of the committee. I think you should go on the whole body of work, not the last 10 games. So it changed. Now, you know, I'm not up there now. I'm not as familiar with how they do it now. But whoever's head of the committee, they could say, I think we should go back to the way the teams are playing at the end of the year and look at the last 10 games. So there is no book that says you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. It all depends on who's on the committee.
The qualifications they use a lot of times, they use certain ones to fit the narrative.
Absolutely.
For when they have to explain to the media types like yourself, why did this team get in? Right. Why did this team not get in? They will go to certain little things that maybe other teams didn't have, but they'll just flip them around to fit their narrative. So you think it's closer to, okay, they put all the resumes into a computer and they just spit out the perfect bracket that's fair and balanced for everybody?
No.
Or is it just a bunch of old white men in a room with a smoke, all of them smoking cigars, trying to figure out ways they could screw certain people over or lift certain people up just to fit their own agendas and who gets the most money out of it? Which one's closer to the truth? Sometimes I think it's that last one.
I think it was more the last one in the past. I think they've gotten more towards the numbers. Although when I was up there, they gave you a ton of numbers. They would show you all these different numbers, and you had these little computer screens, and you could hit a button, and it would show you this and that. I'm sure it's even more so now. Back then, they went with the RPI, which was terrible. Now the net, I think, is better. I don't know if it's perfect,
but I think it's better.
I think it's better than the RPI. But you would still get the guy who would say, and I'll give you a perfect example. When we were up there, when I did it in the mock, they paired you with somebody who was administrative type, and you worked together. The guy they paired me with was a guy named John Underwood, who's an assistant commissioner with the Big 12. Nice guy, great guy. But I can remember we were looking at the numbers. I still see John from time to time. He still works for the Big 12. He knows his stuff, but I can remember when we looked at the numbers and there was a team that he had seen during the year and their numbers were not that good. And he would say, they're better than that. I've seen them. That team's really good. And so, you know, he's going to elevate them up. So, it just depends. Not everybody's going to go strictly by the numbers. Some are say, well, I think the numbers are misleading. I've seen that team. They're not as good as the numbers, or they're better than those numbers. I mean, that's just the way it works.
So when you see a game like, oh, I don't know, Minnesota and Louisville, you don't think that's kind of set up just a little bit to kind of get a little gut punch into Patino?
No, I don't think so. I think there may be more of the, this would be good for TV, CBS or TNT. They're going to like this. But I think let's say you take Louisville off that 7 line and you move them to an 8 just so you avoid that. Where are you going to put them, and how's that going to affect the team that you got to take out as an 8? Maybe put them at a 9 or put them at a 7. You know, it can change the whole thing. It's almost like a Jenga game or whatever. You take one piece out, the whole thing may collapse.
Right.
It's hard to get it in there. Let's just put it this way. I'm not saying they don't do some of that, but it's really hard to do.
When you've got some time though. I mean, hey, we can fit these agendas in. We can stick it to certain people. But yeah, the whole bracket selection process. Would never do that. What?
Well, which, okay, how should they do it?
Why don't we just put all the numbers into, don't we call the desert? Let's call Las Vegas. Let's let them put a power rating, 1 to 68, best teams in the country. And they all, let's just put them 1 all to 68. 68. Put them
so you, to would 68. Give, you wouldn't give these little conferences?
Well, okay, automatic qualifiers, but I mean, if you, to
but
see
But after
them,
that, the at-large all, teams?
Yes, exactly. Put all 68 that you're going to have in, let Las Vegas rank them 1 to 68, and then play it out from there. I mean, it's not like
because then you could end up with Duke and North Carolina, depending on the numbers you could have. They could be playing in like the Sweet 16 game or something that.
Well, that's good for us then. Hey,
but that's
let
not good
play
for TV.
Sweet,
that's not what
they're
they
not
going
to put two number one seeds in the Sweet 16, John Clay. Now you're just trying to be difficult.
I know, but I mean, if you go strictly by the numbers, and you might have Kentucky playing. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. You probably remember going back to Eddie Sutton, and they that year they played what year was that? They played LSU three times. And played down in Atlanta, and LSU beat them. It was like the fourth time they played them that year or whatever it was, you know, and they screamed bloody murder. That's not fair. Why do we have to play LSU again? That was 86, wasn't it? That
was
when
86.
Louisville won it in 86. Yeah.
That's very good. Very good. Yeah. Were you covering that for the Herald Leader in 86?
I was covering Louisville for the Herald Leader in 86. Wow. Yeah.
How old are you, John Clay? You're old. When I said longtime columnist, boy, I was right, ladies and gentlemen. I got that one. One more question about UK's
thank
season.
You.
Hey, we are the master of the cheap shot here on the bottom line. One more question about Kentucky's season.
Okay.
Quad A Green. Why do more people say, man, this team took off when he got out of town?
I don't know. Maybe they forgot he was even on.
Well,
team.
All I know is they lost just as many games when he was here than when he was gone. So,
well, I think the one thing Quad A Green leaving and gave an opportunity for Cal had to play the other guys. He had to play Keldon Johnson. He had to play Tyler Herro. Quickly and Higgins give him more minutes have benefited him down the road. Although there are a couple times there I think where they could have used Quad A and used his outside shooting, but. Yeah, you're right. It certainly didn't hurt him. Quad A leaving, I don't think hurt him any. I don't mean that as a knock on Quad A. He was a really good kid. Hope he does well in Washington. You're rolling your eyes.
Well, they're better without him. It's obvious. It's the old addition by subtraction kind of thing.
And one thing too, and this kind of plays into your point too. I mean, Cal wants seven guys. He wants seven or eight guys total. He doesn't want to play any more than that. He firmly believes when he gets down to the end of the year, he wants seven or eight guys he can trust who play well together. I think Quad A was probably going to get squeezed out of the rotation anyway. He knew that. That's why he said, okay, it's time for me to go.
Summary on the UK season.
Yes.
Successful, but
it's been successful, but not, I wouldn't say, top notch. No. I mean, you got to win your conference. You got to win your conference. And you got to, they didn't win the conference or the tournament. First time in 5 years, they didn't win the tournament. They got knocked out. They didn't make the finals. They got knocked out in the semifinals. And they didn't win the tournament. And they didn't win the league. Now, you can make the argument the league is a lot better than it was in some of those years when they won the league. But let's see what happens in the tournament because that's all anybody cares about and that's what matters in the NCAA tournament.
Now, in fact, we agree on something, John Clay. So okay. The regular season, not exactly top notch. Not exactly top notch.
Tubby won him several SEC titles and several SEC tournaments, and they ran him out of town because he couldn't get to the Final Four after that first season. So that tells you right there what matters.
Speaking of the Final Four, let's get to this bracket. Ones and twos. Did you have any kind of disagreements with the ones in all four regions?
You mean where they were placed or being
just being,
just being
number
the
ones
one?
And who they're kind of matched up with number twos?
No, not really. I didn't have, a little bit, you could quibble here and there. I know Michigan State's not happy being in with Duke.
They shouldn't.
Duke number one. Yeah, I can understand that. You win, you beat Michigan three times. They beat Michigan three times, right? I know they beat them yesterday. And so what's your reward for that? You're matched up against Duke, so you can't be too happy about that. I thought maybe they would put Michigan State out, that they would say that, okay, they're not a number one, but they're the strongest number two team, so we're going to put them out west with Gonzaga. So I was a little surprised by that. But that's a minor quibble. I mean, you got to play. You got to win. It doesn't matter who you're up against.
Should UK have been in Louisville?
No.
Even if they were a one seed?
If a one seed, yes. One seed, that's fine. Because they've earned it, Louisville. I know the committee chairman said they wouldn't have any qualms about putting me in Louisville as the number two, but if I was a number one seed coach and I'm looking up and I got Kentucky at number two and I got to play them in the regional final in Louisville, I would not be happy about that because you're basically giving them a home game. And we can talk about Kansas later and what they're, being in the Midwest. But I thought the only way that they should be in Louisville is as a number one.
I went on a little diatribe last week about the last true regional final involving a team on its home court. I'm sure you remember this. UK and Illinois here at Rupp Arena 1984. I even put a link to a video where Dickie Beal was walking, he got fouled, but he wasn't fouled. And Illinois literally had zero free throws in the second half or something like that. And I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. After that, they said, we can't do this again. We can't have a team on its home court. But you're right. You can't put Kentucky and Louisville, especially as a two seed, against anybody. But, I mean, last week, Joe Lenardi, all week before the conference tournament starts, he has Kentucky as a one seed at Louisville and Duke as the two seed at Louisville. There's no way that they would ever have let Duke, even if they lost first round of the ACC tournament, they never would have put Duke and Louisville against Kentucky, would they?
Well, I don't know, but, probably
not. No, I guarantee.
Probably not.
You don't remember when Duke and Indiana played here about 2002? Coach K was like, this was in a road game. This was unfair.
And that was the end of that.
Exactly. That's why they never, ever in a million years would have put Duke in Louisville. The most polarizing team in this tournament to me, you know, everybody hates or loves Duke. Everybody hates or loves Kentucky. Virginia.
Yes.
Because everybody I talk to, like the Bruce Edwardses of the world behind the glass over there, I bring up Virginia. Hey, Virginia's pretty good this year. Oh, no, I've seen this before. They have to prove it to me. I'm not going to get burned. I'm not going to fall for the old Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley, banana in the tailpipe trick again. You're going to have to prove it to me. And he's right.
Right.
For the last 5 years, they should have been, based on their seeds. They were a one seed three times. They were a two seed once. So in theory, going by seeds alone, they should have won at least 15 games to get to the Final Four. They only won six. So they're burning money, they're burning brackets, and they're pissing people off left and right. Last year, of course, the coup de grace.
Right.
Your thoughts on Virginia this year, with everybody saying, I'm not believing in this again. They're the best team. You look at all the numbers, the Ken Palms of the world, the Sagarins of the world, the BPIs of the world. They all love Virginia again. Las Vegas doesn't love Virginia nearly as much, but still, these analytics do. Your thought on Virginia being the most polarizing team? People really hate them. Not many people love them, but they really hate Virginia this year.
No, that's probably right. That's probably right. You mean whether I agree that they are polarizing or how I think they're going to do in the tournament?
Well, they're polarizing in terms of people picking them.
Well, a lot of people don't like the way Virginia plays because they play a slow-down type game. They're not a fast-breaking up and down. They play different. It's actually the reason why I like Virginia. I like to watch Virginia play because they are different. I like their coach, Tony Bennett. I think he's a heck of a coach. The guy won at Washington State. I mean, come on, give me a break. He's done a tremendous job at Virginia. What's hurt him in the tournament to me is you got to score. Everybody talks about defense wins championships. You got to be able to play defense. There's no doubt about that. But you got to score. You got to be able to put the ball in the basket. To me, that's what's won it for Villanova two out of the last 3 years. They had guys who could score. They could hit the three. You know, that kid who went nuts for him last year in the championship game and ended up in the NBA over where he had no chance of going to the NBA before that. But I think Virginia's a little different team this year. I think they're a better offensive team than they've been recently. I really like Hunter, Ty Jerome, their guards. They got a little more maturity. They got some motivation after being the only number one seed to get bounced out by 16 last year. But I'm still a little queasy about getting to the Final Four. I mean, I think they can get there. I think I picked them to go to the Final Four this morning. I'd have to go back and look. So much stuff happened last night. I was looking at so many different things. But, I'm not 100% sold that they can do it just because of offensive. I mean, they turned up in the ACC tournament against Florida State where they had a hard time scoring against Florida State. Now, Florida State's a good defensive team. I don't think you can base it solely on that. Florida State's a team, too, when we get into sleepers, who I wouldn't want to play in the tournament just because, look at the run that they made last year. They're athletic as all get out, and they're good defensively. I like Virginia. I'm rooting for them. I hope they get to Final Four just to prove the people wrong who hate them just because they don't like the way they play and the way, as you mentioned, they've burned brackets in the past. But go ahead. I've rambled.
Well, that's nothing new to you on this show, John Clay. But you wanted to say it. You really wanted to say it.
I
don't believe in them because they've upset me so much in the past. Because you were I believe them so far, but they still have to prove it to me.
Well, I would. They haven't upset me in the past, but I was disappointed in the way they played. 1 year in Virginia, I mean, they were hardly even in the game against Michigan State. 1 year they collapsed in the second half.
2 years they lost
regional
Michigan State.
One year
they had a 17-point lead on Syracuse in the second half.
Right.
And I cried during that game. Oh, this is unbelievable.
But I'm rooting for them just because I like the way they play. because they do play different than everybody else. I really like Tony Bennett. I think he's a good coach and done a good job. But I'm not 100% sold. They're, you know, I think they get the Final Four, but they're not somebody that'd say, oh, yeah, they're definitely a Final Four team.
We talked about this right before the show started. Bruce Edwards is in here, and we said, you know, well, I can tell a lot about who you are as a person by who you pick. You know, the nerds love the Gonzagas and the Virginias of the world, the numbers nerds. The sheep that follow the rest of the sheep to the slaughterhouse. They like the Dukes because everybody's telling them Duke's the best team. The people, the Gordon Geckos of the world who put emotion into every decision they make, of course they're going to take Kentucky around here. And then, of course, the ex-high school jocks. Oh, I got to take North Carolina, Tennessee, Michigan State, teams like that. I can tell a lot about who you are if you believe in Virginia or not. Another team, Gonzaga. Do you believe in them? Losing the conference tournament. One seed. Do you believe in them this year?
I did not pick them to get to the Final Four, but I do think they're really good because I think they've got NBA-level talent. They haven't been healthy all year. They haven't had all their guys together all year. I can see them making a run and getting to the I picked Texas Tech to come out of the West, but if Gonzaga comes out of the West, it wouldn't surprise me. If Gonzaga won the whole thing, it wouldn't surprise me because I do think they have NBA-level talent. And that's one thing that does worry me a little bit about Virginia. I think once you know, it helps to have those studs. It helps to have those NBA guys at the end. Doesn't mean you have to have them. Villanova didn't have them. But I think it does help, and I think certainly Gonzaga's got the talent to do it.
Every time Gonzaga faced a good team, everybody talks about the time they played Duke, which was literally 2 weeks after they played Duke played
right.
Kentucky,
right,
and ran Kentucky out, but they played in Hawaii.
Right.
Gonzaga beat Duke out there.
Right.
But then they come east, they lose to Tennessee, they lose at North Carolina. And then after that, they disappear for 3 months because then they go play their little conference and they blow everybody out of the water.
Wasn't the Tennessee game in Phoenix?
It was a
Phoenix?
Neutral court.
Yeah, it was a neutral court. Yeah, it wasn't at Tennessee. They lost to Tennessee. They didn't have the Tilly kid at that time,
right?
That's right.
He's a shooter, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's completely healthy for this. Didn't he get hurt again at the end of the year or close to it?
He's questionable for this. All right, let's get back to the regions with John Clay here. Let's go to Kentucky's region, the Midwest. The number one seed, North Carolina. The number two seed, Kentucky. You just rambled the only stat I had about Abilene Christian earlier. The only good thing I had. I swear you came over here and looked at my notes when I was out of the room a minute ago.
I think we look for the same information.
That's not a good sign at all. Your thoughts on this region as a whole, North Carolina, the number one seed.
I think North Carolina's got a tougher way to go to get to the regional finals than Kentucky does. I think Kentucky will, they'll handle Abilene Christian. I think they'll be either Wofford or Seton Hall in the next game. I know they lost to Seton Hall, but that was way back in December. That was a lifetime ago. And then I'm not all that impressed with the other four teams above that. Although Iowa State's dangerous. Iowa State can get hot on you. If they're a team, I've watched them a couple times this year. If they're hitting threes, they're a dangerous team. But I think Carolina's got a much tougher way to go. Utah State, I think, is a good team. And then if they get out of Columbus and they make it to Kansas City, they probably will end up having to play either Auburn or Kansas. Like we mentioned earlier, Auburn is red hot. They've won eight in a row. They're shooting the three like they're unconscious. They don't care. They're just going to jack up threes. They shot, I think, 40 threes in two of the three games they played in the SEC tournament, or two of the four. If they continue to be hot, that's going to be a tough for Carolina. Or you got to play Kansas. And this is nowhere near the Kansas teams that we've seen in the past. They don't have Azubuike. Legero Vick couldn't get along with Bill Self, and Bill Self sent him. You know, they used the old, he had some family matters he needed to take care of. I think what that meant was that Bill Self got tired of seeing him getting lost on defense.
Nope. Okay.
So he said, maybe you need to go talk to your family. But anyway, but you'd have to play him in Kansas City.
That was my next question.
Like an hour away from
North Carolina and Kansas in Kansas City.
Right.
Do you think this committee that was so unbiased, do you think they didn't have that in mind when they planned that little game?
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think, especially as a four seed, they ought to be able to play in Kansas City. But, you know, I didn't make up the bracket. But, and then if it is Carolina, Kentucky, I think Kentucky is better. I think obviously they wouldn't be scared of Carolina, but Carolina would have the motivation. Kentucky beat them during the year. So, you know, I don't know. What did you think about Carolina being a number one seed? Because I got some people who were emailing me and so forth. Look at Carolina's resume. They don't really deserve to be a number one seed. They beat Duke. Their two wins over Duke, Zion didn't play. They played 30 seconds in one game. Who else did they beat during the year? They did beat Gonzaga, as you mentioned, but that was on their home floor. You know,
Michigan State should have been number one. I thought Michigan State should have been a one seed over Carolina in any region. But to stick them with Duke, You're saying that Michigan State's the number eight team in America. Now you're getting a little ridiculous in that little, that, you know, that unbiased bracket they make. But I think, you know, you talk about getting to the end. It is North Carolina and Kentucky in this region, as much as we hate to say it. And when you get to the end, just like 2 years ago, Kentucky was a two-point dog in that game when they played North Carolina in that regional final. Of course, they ended up losing by two. Calipari is a dog in the tournament. I'm all in on when Calipari's a dog, 4-0-1 against the spread at Kentucky when he's an underdog, you know, in the tournament. That's something. That, if Cal is a dog in that game, I'll push my chips in the middle of the table for Cal, no problem. But there's some first-round games in this one that I have a tendency. I think Auburn's going to struggle first round with New Mexico State. That line is 7. Some of the trends that we like to look at, we look first rounds. Can you play defense? Do you have a slow tempo? We have slow-paced dogs. Anybody who gets less than 70 possessions a game, that's for your little Ken Pomeroy. And their line is 5 or less. 112 up, 71 down. That's 61.2% against the spread, John Clay. That's a big sample size.
Is that good?
That is good for those of you playing at home. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And then the defense. If you allow less than 60 in your last game and you're a dog in the tournament, 57.8%. That's 159 up, 116 down. Defense, slow-paced dogs, that's who we look for first round. Because a lot of these teams, every team comes into this tournament first round, a little tight, don't know what to expect. You're in places you've never been before. So we look at teams like New Mexico State. You're getting 7 points against Auburn. Why is that only 7? Because New Mexico State plays defense, and they have one of the slowest tempos in the country. There's another Ken Pom stat for you.
I didn't have that. Okay.
Well, you know, some of us look at the right numbers, John Clay. We just don't go to the front page. Oh, they're ranked number 2. I think I'll take them. Some of us have to put some time and effort into this. We, you know, we got to make some pizza money here and there. That's what some of us are in this for. We're not in this for slaps and tickles like you are. Another team first round, Washington. Washington, we're going to call the upset Washington over Utah State, the 9 over the 8. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Pac-12's terrible. Pac-12's awful. Did you watch Washington the other night against
Oregon? I did
against Oregon,
yes, because we might have had a little interest in Oregon for reasons we can't describe, but we have a bartender at Grimaldi's that will vouch for us on that Oregon pick. But those are two teams first round I like. I think Wofford's going down to Seton Hall first round, too. I think Wofford's a little bit overrated. Who have they played? They ran the table in the Southern Conference. But
120 in a row?
Yeah, and who are those 20?
Yeah, they lost to Carolina by 11. They lost to Michigan State by 11. They lost to Kansas by 25. And they lost to Oklahoma by 11. So, yeah, all the good teams they played, they couldn't beat.
And Seton Hall, they're not those four teams, but they're the tier right below them. Wofford, they're a 5-point favorite this game. They're overrated. Yeah. I think Seton Hall has a good chance to advance.
Yeah, I would agree with
you. And then play Kentucky. And you talk about these mid-majors, the Utah States of the world, the Woffords of the world. Don't you think they got a little bit of a screw job in this bracket? Because they, you know, they get to play, and then if they win, they have to play one of the big boys. Wofford's got to hit Kentucky.
Well, you got to play. You're going to have to play them sooner or later.
Well, you don't have to play them that early, do you? Wofford would have been better off if they were a 13 seed, and then they could have played a 4, and then could have played a 5 the next round. So, you know, the big boys out of the way. So those are the games we like first round. We like Washington, New Mexico State against the spread.
Okay.
Potential upset picks. There you go. Auburn. I know they're just coming off the big SEC tournament. What's a better time for Bruce Pearl to come up a tank like he usually does in the tournament than against this? Betting against Bruce Pearl in the tournament, always a good idea. He's 6-9-1 in his days at Tennessee combined in the tournament. He's always an underachiever, so we like to go against them. So we'll call Washington. We'll call New Mexico close, and we'll call Seton Hall an upset winner in your first round. There you go, John Clay. We don't just sit on the favorites like you. Just look at Ken Pom and whoever he's got. We're going to take them all the way. So there you go.
I think Auburn will win. I'm not a believer in Washington. I don't like Washington.
Okay, we'll bet a bucket of pride on that. Bucket of pride on that one. So North Carolina, Kentucky.
Yes.
Your regional final in that region. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's coming out of that?
I think Kentucky. I think Kentucky wins. I think they're the better team. I think they'll win.
You do?
Yeah. They proved it in Chicago. But that doesn't mean that they'll win. You know, like I said earlier, North Carolina's got the motivational factor. If they play in Kansas City in the finals, I would pick Kentucky to win.
What if Kansas runs the table since they're in Kansas City? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that make everybody happy? I think North Carolina beats Kentucky this time around.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying that. I'd say they're pretty close.
It's tough to bet against Roy. In the tournament, I'm looking at his point spread record right now. He's 28-22 against the spread. This year, they're the best team in the tournament against the spread. They're the best team in America, 22-9-1 against the spread. They've overachieved all year long. When you gave up on them, especially those Duke games, they showed up and they played outstanding. They're 15-2 since that Louisville loss, which you take that Louisville loss out, how high ranked are they this year? You know, how much are they considered? Right. But yeah, I'll take North Carolina over Kentucky in this region, and we'll bet another bucket of pride on that one. What are these bracket pools you're getting into so I can take your money, John Clay? Easy money. All right, let's quickly go over some of these other regions. Let's go up above North Carolina and Kentucky here on this bracket. The South region, Virginia, the number one seed, Tennessee coming off their great then not showing up showing in the SEC tournament. Your thoughts on this region as a whole, John Clay?
Well, as a whole, you know, I don't think it's that strong a region, to be honest with you. I think it's good. I think it's tailor-made for Virginia and Tennessee to get to the finals. I know somebody yesterday, might have been Seth Davis, picked Purdue to come out of this region. I'm not that big on Purdue. I'm not that big on any of the Big Ten teams other than Michigan and Michigan State. In our earlier discussion about Virginia, I picked Virginia to come out of this, but I think it'll be a Virginia-Tennessee final. Tennessee, to me, is one of those teams I talk about that I think they're really good, they're an experienced team, but they lack that NBA guy who can maybe put them over the top. I think that's the only thing that worries me about Tennessee.
It's tough. When I look at this bracket as a whole, it's tough to go against any of the ones and twos before the regional final. And I saw Dick Vitale took all the ones and all the twos to make the regional finals, and people were putting screenshots on Twitter and saying, hey, way to go out on a limb, Dickie V. But, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. It's tough to pick against the ones and twos this year. Yeah, it's tough to pick against a Virginia-Tennessee regional final, but there's a lot of niche teams in here. You look at this Ole Miss-Oklahoma game. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss is already favored. I think Oklahoma's going to beat Ole Miss, although Ole Miss, our bottom line SEC team of the year, because they were one of the best point spread teams in America, 20-9 against the spread. But Lon Kruger in a game like that, and Oklahoma against Ole Miss, I think the wrong team's favored here. I think Oklahoma should win, and I think Oklahoma's the better team. Mm-hmm. And then we get down to probably my favorite game, Wisconsin and Oregon. It's a shame that these two teams are playing in the first round. A team like Oregon, Altman, a great coach, especially in the tournament. And then, of course, Wisconsin. People around here know about Wisconsin in the tournament. It's like they're still the same team that they were before Bo Ryan left. How are they an underdog to a 12-seed Oregon? How is Wisconsin an underdog, 1.5-point underdog in this game? That's what I don't know.
Well, I mean, Oregon looked awful good the other night. Like I said, I watched them against Washington. They looked really good. I mean, they've had their struggles during the year, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think Altman's a heck of a coach. He's got them playing really well right now. I think the Pac-12 was terrible, but I think Oregon can come out of this game and beat Wisconsin and go the next
round. Well, you're contradicting yourself. Oregon looked great, but of course it was at the Pac-12 tournament.
Well, that's what gives me pause. Exactly. That's what the other thing gives me pause. But I think they're playing much better than anybody else in the Pac-12 at the end of the year, which they proved the other night. I mean, they just took Washington apart.
Yeah.
Altman is a good coach. He's a good tournament coach. And, you know, we talk about Kansas and Kansas City. You know, what was it, a couple of years ago, the Kansas in the regional final played Oregon and Kansas City, and Oregon took them apart. And beat them right there in the Sprint Center. So, you know, I don't think Oregon's going to get too far, but I think they'll beat Wisconsin.
Anytime you see a 12 favored over a 5, you want to go with the 12. That's the desert trying to tell you something, who the better team is. It's going to be tough for me to go against Oregon. I'll take Wisconsin to win and cover. Right. You're going to give me a point and a half in, you know, Oregon, even though Altman's there? I'll have to take Wisconsin there. I'll take Oklahoma over Wisconsin. Go ahead.
How much you're the Vegas guy. How much, though, goes into the you know, if you look back at history, where the upsets usually happen are in the 5-12 games. Does that figure into the Vegas odds? Do they look at this and say, okay, if it was a 7-10 game, the odds would be this way, but because it's a 5-12 game, if you had the same two teams and they were 7-10, would the odds be any different than they are at 5-12?
Funny you should ask that, John Clay, because we're prepared for questions just like that. That was unrehearsed, ladies and gentlemen.
I wish it was rehearsed, but it wasn't.
It would sound much worse if it was rehearsed, knowing John Clay. He couldn't, you know, carry a tune with it in here. But seeds do not matter at all,
really,
to Las Vegas. They're just trying to get even action on two sides. But if you look at the seeds, the number 11 seeds covering against the spread, 32-23-1 the last since 2005. That's 58%. That's the best underdog seed to take against the spread, whereas the best favorite, the 7 seed, 7s against the 10s, they're 32-23-1. That's another 58%. So, and those are seeds right next to each other. So do they really take the seeding into account? Not at all. They're just looking for who's the better team. Okay. And who's going to get the most action on both sides? So that's an answer to your unrehearsed question, John Clay.
I know learn nobody something out there every day.
Okay. Exactly. So, yeah, if you're wanting underdog seeds, look for the 11. Don't look at the 10s. That's what history tells us. That's research, John Clay. Some of us do research. We're not like the rest of these clowns in this market who just show up and grab the newspaper. Oh, let's see what's happening today. You know, and just make up stuff in your head.
Did I point out that Abilene Christian has a really high steal percentage?
Yeah, I wonder where you got that stat. Yeah, Ken Pomeroy's doing this show next time. We don't need John Clay. Ken Pomeroy will be your guest host.
If you can get him, you can be my guest.
You're the only one stupid enough to come on this show, so that's the reason you're here. So we got Virginia and Tennessee in that region. By the way, I think Iowa, the much maligned Iowa, is going to come back and take down Cincinnati first round. You're shaking your head like I'm an idiot, John Clay.
I don't like Iowa.
You don't like Iowa? Why don't you like Iowa? You don't like the cut of their jib? Give us some statistical analysis here, Ken Palm.
Like I said, outside of Michigan and Michigan State, I don't much like anybody in the Big Ten. I mean, as far as advancing in this tournament, I'm not big on Iowa. Fran McCaffrey, you know, he'll throw a chair, or he'll go off the rail some way.
Is he the biggest jerk in coaching?
I've never been around McCaffrey. I think one time maybe when he was at Siena around, but I haven't been around him. I just know him from his top 10 highlights when he's yelling at officials or throwing stomping on chairs.
Iowa fits our criteria. Underdog, slow-paced team. That game against Cincinnati, it's not going to be a high-scoring game.
That's going to be a rock.
It's going to be an ugly game.
Rock.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a rock fight. Yeah.
So when we have rock fights, you'll take the dog every time, and I like my chances. So we'll take Iowa, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin as a dog out in the desert, but not by the seeds. Virginia and Tennessee in the final of this region. And you're going with Virginia.
I'm going with Virginia, yes.
The numbers.
Yeah, favorite Virginia.
All right, let's go to the East, where Duke, the overall number one seed, reigns supreme. Number two, Michigan State, a team that I think got the old screw job for the number one seed. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this region as a whole?
It's hard to go against Duke, especially with Zion, the way they play. I mean, they're really good. I am not 100% sold on Duke that they're just like a lock to win the thing. I think they'll, I picked them to come out of this region. I don't really see anybody in the top half for the bracket giving them any trouble. I thought Mississippi State, if anything, kind of underachieved this year. I thought their talent was a little bit better than what they ended up showing, and they're possible. They were a hard team to figure out. When Kentucky played them in Starkville, I was there at that game, and Quindary Weatherspoon, who's their best player, first half it wasn't even like he was on the floor. I mean, he was nothing in the first half. Second half he played well, and they came back and could have won the game. But I don't see anybody threatening them in the top half of the bracket, and I think Michigan State will come out of the bottom half. We talked about LSU earlier. I think they're a wild card. I've said all season long since seeing them, and I think they're a hard matchup for anybody just because of the way they've got some big guys underneath, and they got a guy like Reed who can play both inside and outside. But you just don't know how all the other chaos and not having Will Wade and all the NCAA stuff, how's that going to affect them?
I don't think
you know who they remind me of. They remind me of Vegas. They remind me of the UNLV teams back in Tark's day, and I'm not just saying that just because of the NCAA stuff.
Before 1991? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
By the way, one of our best conspiracy theories is that Duke-UNLV game in 91 was fixed.
Really?
But that's another story for another day. Okay. I have a lot of information on that one that I've spent many countless hours researching, but we won't talk about that today. I don't think LSU makes a Sweet 16. I think they fall to whoever comes out of that Maryland-Belmont-Temple threesome.
Really?
They're not going to make it to Sweet 16, but if you want a high-scoring game, Yale runs it up and down the court. You over players out there. Yeah, Duke, Michigan State is tough to look at anybody upsetting them on the way to the final eight. Mm-hmm. We kind of like Temple in the play-in game against Belmont. We'll take Temple getting three. How did the OVC get two teams in this year?
Well, I mean, I brought you that because I think that there was sort of a clamoring for Belmont as soon as they lost to Murray in the game. They're like, oh, if any year that the OVC is going to get two in, this is the year. You're shaking your head. You don't agree with this.
I don't think they should be in the tournament. I don't think I think there are teams that are left out that were better. I thought Clemson was better.
Clemson couldn't beat anybody. They played everybody close, but they couldn't beat anybody.
I remember sitting right here and watching the Clemson NC State game in the tournament last week, thinking, well, the winner of this is going to get in. The winner didn't get in. They were both out.
Belmont's, I'm looking at Ken Pom right now. Belmont's 54. They're above Seton Hall.
Yes, it's the Ken Pomeroy show, ladies and gentlemen. Or Belmont is 54 and Seton Hall is where?
55.
Well, there you go.
Right there together.
That one against Kentucky didn't put him
what
in the top
40. What about Arizona State? I mean, does Arizona State really deserve to be in?
That's Bobby Hurley. That's name recognition, John Clay. Come on, that's what we're going for here. We like Temple to take down Belmont first playing game. We'll take that big guy from UCF, that 7'6" guy.
Taco.
Yeah, I forgot his name. I just know he's 7'6". And your Gamblers Anonymous play of the week, North Carolina Central, using that 292nd slowest tempo in America, getting 5.5 against North Dakota State. You don't hear that everywhere, ladies and gentlemen.
No. That's
the Gamblers Anonymous play of the week.
You got me there.
Gamblers Anonymous is going to sponsor that pick every
week. I feel so unprepared that I did not already know that stat.
With wins like that. Tell us about Louisville and Minnesota. Would you like
Patino
to be there covering
Patino.
That one? Would
Patino
you like to be
well,
there?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, you think Rick will be there? Schmoozing, trying to get a job from somebody.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't kept up with Rick lately as far as Greece go. This Grecian team, are they in some kind of tournament or something? I don't know if they'd be
over
there or not.
Did they win and he came?
Yeah, but he was tweeting out about something else.
They forfeited the final or
something
like that.
I don't know. Yeah, he might be. Yeah, he'd be
sitting right
behind.
Where's Rick turning up next year? You know he is.
Everything I hear is Rick thinks he would love to get a college job, but I think he realizes it's going to be hard for him to get a college job. He wants
to
try to get an NBA job.
You don't think a team like UCLA,
no,
UNLV, you don't think anybody like that who's just waiting? I think they would roll out the red carpet for him.
How can you hire the guy without the NCAA doing? The NCAA could step up and give him a show cause.
You think they'll still do that? That's not over and done with?
No, it's
even
not over and
Patino
done with.
Makes me, makes
no, it's not
on.
Over and done with.
You don't think it's over and done with?
No, there's all kinds of other stuff that's going to come out.
Oh, there is? Like what, yeah. John Clay? You're breaking news here on the bottom line?
No, I'm not breaking any news. It's just everybody thought it was over and done with, and look what happened to Will Wade. We don't know what the Auburn assistant that just came out here
didn't
lately.
Didn't they already get him for that kid that never played for them? Now he's playing in Australia and somewhere, that Bowen kid?
Well, yeah, who? Will Wade or?
No, Patino. Rick Patino.
Yeah, Patino, yes. Well, Louisville punished him, but the NCAA hasn't done anything. The NCAA hasn't even heard that case. Because what happened on that deal, from everything we heard, was just the FBI told the NCAA, back off, let us do our investigation. We don't want you getting in the way.
Even if it
and
takes
when
years.
We hear that recently, because as you can see, they're now at Arizona, looking at Arizona, that they now have the agreement that they can go in. In fact, the FBI will help them with what some of the information, as long as it's public information that they can get. So I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over with Louisville. Do I think Louisville is going to get much more as an institution, as a basketball program, is going to get hit much harder? No, I don't think so, really. But I don't know that Patino's in the clear, no.
I bet he'll have a job next year.
I just think
he'll have a college job next year and a lot bigger than anybody thought he would get.
That's just me. He could. I mean, UNLV seems like, a pretty good fit. And there was a lot of talk about that. You sound like Vital, though. I mean, Vital's like pushing him for every job in America.
Oh, don't ever call me Vital. You'll never get that out of me. Okay, Duke, Michigan State in the finals of this region. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
And you have Duke going?
Yes, I have Duke going.
I've got Michigan State upsetting Duke before the Final Four. Mm-hmm. To get to the and sending Duke on their way.
Why? What are you basing this on?
I'm basing this on I don't want to see Duke in the Final Four. No, I'm basing this on Michigan State. I've been watching them. The numbers.
I watched them.
The numbers, if you look at your boy KenPom, they are very even when you look at all their numbers, strength of schedule, tempo, defense. That's what I liked in the tournament, defense. Michigan State right there with Duke. Now, granted, a lot of that Duke stuff was when Zion was out, especially the last month. But this is another thing, too. Everybody's going to take Duke to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Why should I follow the rest of you sheep to the slaughterhouse, John Clay? I can make my own path and win all the money in my bracket pool.
So are you picking him as a money pick or because you think that that's really what's going to happen?
I think it's what's going to happen, and I want the money. It's part of both. So we're taking Michigan State to upset Duke in the Elite Eight.
Michigan State lost one of their guys yesterday. The kid broke his leg.
And they still won the Big Ten championship, beating Michigan.
It's a Big Ten.
Now you're just go to KenPom there, see where Big Ten is ranked, because that's what we're doing.
You know, I don't know that. That's a good question, but go ahead. Go on, I'll
that
look
makes
that.
For great I'll radio.
John Clay
looking stuff up on the computer. It makes for great radio, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
No, I think Michigan State could beat them, but I would pick Duke. I think Duke's a better team. I would pick Duke. I'll pick Duke. And doesn't Izzo, you're the stats guy. Doesn't Izzo, he has a terrible record against Coach K, doesn't he?
Against Coach K? I'm not sure, but in the tournament, you can't ask us. You were just looking for any question I didn't have written down on my paper here. Coach K in the tournament, 20-21 against the spread. All right, we're going to enough of your foolishness on Michigan State. We're going to the West region. Gonzaga, the number one seed. Michigan, who you just said, meh, they're in the Big Ten. They're the number two seed in this one.
Michigan's okay. I'm not crazy about him. I like Beilein. I think he's a really good
coach.
Love Beilein. But I don't think they're as good as they've been in the past couple of years. I think they're a little overrated. I really liked them in the first. At the beginning of the year, but I'm not all that crazy.
This is why it's so hard to go against Michigan. They have the second best KenPom defenses, second best defense in America,
right?
And Beilein against the spread, 18-8-1 while he's been at Michigan.
No, he's a good coach.
He's a money coach. He's a great coach. But then you've got Gonzaga. That's Mark Few. Mark Few has a bad against the spread record, 13-20-1. So Gonzaga, another team. Yeah, we prepare, John Clay. You can sit there and laugh. You go to these other shows, they don't prepare like we do. So I can promise you that. Okay. We take this seriously.
No, I have to see. You got a lot of stuff written down there.
And that's, exactly. And that's why when we go to other job interviews at radio stations, they laugh at us because, you know, we work too hard and we're too good at what we do. That's not bitterness at all. Bruce Edwards laughing behind the glass over there because he knows my trials and tribulations. So Gonzaga and Michigan in this region. What do you think about this one?
I picked Texas Tech to come out of this region.
Texas Tech, a team that I have always liked, the absolute number one defense in America.
That's
correct. According to KenPom. Is that what you're basing this on?
I'm basing it on two things. Number one is that they on the defense. They're number one in the country in defense. I really like Chris Beard, their coach. And last year didn't they get to the Elite Eight last year before they lost? So they've got tournament experience. I think that actually means something. A lot of these teams, if you look back and look at history, two or three years they get close, but they can't get over the hump. I think that will help them this year. And I think the other thing that's helping them is not a lot of people are paying attention to them when they're talking about this region. They're talking about, oh, Gonzaga should not have been a number one seed. You know, they haven't played anybody since December. You know, who did they beat? They only beat Duke way back early in the year, that sort of thing. And then Michigan, Michigan State should be in there playing Gonzaga instead of Michigan. Michigan State got screwed. Nobody's talking about Texas Tech. I like Texas Tech.
I like Texas Tech, too, mainly because of their defense. Chris Beard, the coach, always a good tournament coach. This is my favorite region because you see a lot of niche games, like Syracuse and Baylor. You know, a lot of people, Boeheim. And they always set this up every year. They always make one of these number one seeds sweat that second round game against a historical power. Mm-hmm. You know, then CBS will put that in their Sunday primetime game that floats over into primetime.
Right.
And there's one game every year. This year it's going to be Gonzaga and Syracuse. That's what they're hoping.
Yeah.
But I think Baylor's going to take out Syracuse first round. Murray State.
Mm-hmm.
Marquette. The actual real OVC winner. They're chasing against Marquette.
That'll be a great fun game because you got Jay Morant going against Marcus Howard, two guys who, you know, they could each score 40 points in the game. I like Murray State in that game. I think Murray State can win that game. I think Marquette's a little overrated. I don't think Marquette played quite as well down the stretch at the end of the year as they had played earlier. I would pick Murray State to win that game. My sleeper in there, and I shouldn't say this because they're in the same become in the same region as Texas Tech, and I picked Texas Tech to come out. It's like I said earlier, it's Florida State. I think Florida State can beat Gonzaga if they get there because they're a good defensive team and they're really athletic. They're a funny NCAA team. They can go out in the first round, or they can make it all the way to the Elite Eight. And maybe Leonard will get into it with Dana. Was it Dana Jacobson last year? Like the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've known Leonard for a long time. Believe me, I've been on the other end of that with Leonard.
Didn't he send the Emery package?
No.
He didn't send the Emery package.
He was gone by then.
Oh, he was gone. Who sent the Emery package?
Well, that was Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne says
he didn't send the Emery package. But
of course he didn't.
Leonard goes back to Joe. Leonard was on the staff with Eddie, I think, the first year, and then he got the head coaching job at Oklahoma State.
Leonard Hamilton against the spread in the tournament, 5-7-1.
Is that right?
So he does not live up to expectations. You're right about defense. But they play Vermont. You talk about a slowdown team. First round. Vermont, 285th in tempo, which means they are very slow. And they're getting 10.5. We'll take Vermont getting those 10.5 against. That's one of our Mac Daddy Stogies. But we talk about Murray State. OVC in the tournament, in the round of 64 or the play-in game. They're 11-5 against the spread. When they get that first round game or the play-in game, OVC always shows well. We'll take Murray State to cover and potentially win against Marquette. Mm-hmm. Although, you go back to the early part of this decade, Murray won games with defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beating Vanderbilt, and they beat, I think it was Colorado State. They played defense. They had Isaiah Kanan, but I mean, they played tough defense. Now, they are up and down, and they play a lot more offense, and they have a superstar offensive player. But we'll take Murray in that. We'll take Baylor, Vermont against the points against your boys, Florida State. That'll be another bucket of pride game. I think the Gators are going to take down Nevada first round. Yeah. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think I would agree with you. I saw Nevada last year. They were when they lost to Loyola in the Sweet 16. They got basically same team back. I mean, they're just a one-on-one team. They don't play any team basketball. It's all isolation, one-on-one. Florida's really good defensively. I think Florida could beat them, yeah.
Musselman's a crazy man.
He
played all his players like 35 minutes a game. And they're just a fraud. And, you know, they've covered a lot of spreads. I think Florida will stick it to Nevada the first round and then set up a game against Michigan. Look out, covering the spread on that one. So you'll have Gonzaga and Michigan making the Elite Eight. No, you won't. You'll have Gonzaga and Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have Texas Tech.
No, I think Florida State can beat Gonzaga. I wouldn't surprise me. I would pick Florida State and Texas Tech in the regional
final. There you go. Now we're talking, John Clay. So we got a 3 and a 4. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech and Florida State, and you'll take Texas Tech.
I'm taking Texas Tech over Florida State.
You still don't think you think I'm crazy for picking Vermont first round
to cover? No, they can cover against Florida State. Yeah, they can cover. I don't think they can beat Florida State. No.
Okay.
I'm putting my faith in my man Leonard.
Your man Leonard. I'm sure he never cheated. All right, back to the brackets, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get to the Final Four. We've got a Final Four set up right now. John Clay, you've got. Let's see. I didn't write these down. I should have wrote these down.
I have Duke in the East, Texas Tech in the West. Okay. I got Virginia in the South, and I got Kentucky in the Midwest.
All right. Take us out to the national championship from there.
Well, I think it's going to be Duke, and I think Virginia will beat Kentucky. I think Duke will beat Virginia in the finals.
You have Virginia over Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Virginia will beat Kentucky in the
finals. I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked that you have Virginia beating Kentucky.
Why? Why are you shocked?
I'm shocked anybody would put Virginia because I'm going to tell you right now, I've got Virginia winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think they can beat Duke. They didn't beat Duke. They lost to Duke twice during the regular season, correct? I don't think they can beat
Duke. Well, it's the circle of love in the ACC. Okay. Virginia could beat North Carolina, but North Carolina could beat Duke. The circle of love in the ACC. I can't believe you have Virginia over UK. I'm shocked. I thought you had... all you people would have Kentucky win the national championship. But of all teams to beat Kentucky, you have Virginia beating them.
I think Virginia's good. I think Virginia will beat them. Yeah, I think Virginia will beat them in the Final Four.
Well, we have Virginia over Gonzaga. The revenge of the nerds final. Well, we're worshiping the numbers, the Ken Pomeroy's of the world. Virginia over Gonzaga will be your national championship, according to the bottom line.
That would be a heck of a thing.
It would be a heck of a thing. You talk about cashing in some bracket pools around here. By the way,
you'd be backing up the truck, right?
Yeah, that truck, exactly. Yeah, of course, Bruce Edwards is he had to come back in here and listen. He goes, I'm gonna listen to what you guys have to say about the bracket. So John Clay on record saying Virginia will defeat Kentucky in the Final Four. I'm honestly shocked by that. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
I figured you'd have, not only did I think you'd have winning the whole thing, but of all teams to beat Kentucky.
I think Kentucky can get to the Final Four, but I don't think they can win at all. But they could, but I just don't think they're quite that good. I don't think they're quite that good enough to win at all. They can prove me wrong. Even if they beat Virginia, I think they would lose to Duke in the finals. I think Duke is just better. I think Duke's a better team. And I'm picking Duke to win it all, and I think Duke will beat Virginia.
You're a sheep. You're a sheep. Our Psych 101. You're a sheep following the rest of
No, wait a minute. You just told me that you're shocked that I picked Virginia over Kentucky. You thought I would be a sheep and follow Kentucky.
You still got Duke at the end. Now, what is Big Blue Nation what are they going to do when you hear, Virginia's beating Kentucky and then Duke's winning it all? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know what they think about
that. You don't know what they think. I know what they're going to think. I'm going to put it all over social media. John Clay says Kentucky has no chance and Duke is awesome.
That's not what I said. I'm picking Virginia to beat Kentucky Final Four. It'll be Duke over Virginia and Duke.
You got Duke with all these stars around it, number one, and we love Duke and hearts and all this stuff around Duke.
That's not true.
Are you calling me a liar, John Clay? Don't answer that question.
I am.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. John Clay has Duke over Virginia for the national championship.
And who do you have? You have Gonzaga?
I have Virginia over Gonzaga to win the whole thing. So there you go. You've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. John Clay, making his triumphant return, has picked Duke over Virginia of all matchups to win the national championship, we are flabbergastedly shocked. I'll admit that. We're done with the brackets, John Clay. Is there any parting words that you have on your triumphant, not so much return to the bottom line?
Well,
Lexington Pocket?
As far as prediction business goes, I'm always wrong. So I'm sure I'm going to be always wrong.
That already, but that's neither here nor there.
All the time. Yeah, that was pretty easy to spot.
No.
It's fun. As fun as always.
Fun as always. Yeah. This is only your second time, John.
Well, so far, two for two.
Well, we need to do this more often.
Okay. Yeah, John. We should. We'll do it for football. You can tell us again about how we're being too optimistic.
That's just enough like of you John did, Clay just for like today, ladies and gentlemen.
Last year when they won 10 games, when you Bruce said we were crazy for picking 8 games.
Cut his mic. We want to, honestly, though, we want to thank John Clay for coming in.
Thanks for
and
having me.
And talking brackets, I wish we could have got into more silliness, but the brackets do not call for much silliness in these times.
Serious business.
This is serious business. I got all these numbers. I got pages and pages. I guarantee you any other, you've got one page over there. Some of it stayed up all night.
So one with Abilene Christian.
That 8 turnover ratio or whatever, yes.
That's correct.
Thank you, Ken Pomeroy.
Right.
We want to thank you, John.
Thanks for having me.
You're a great sport for coming in. We always appreciate all the good words that you put up about us and all the good things that you do for us. And we thank you so much.
Well,
and thank you
fun.
For
thank
taking
you.
Our ribbing the way you do.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
We want to thank John Clay for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @BottomLineLex. John, before you go, tell them where we can find you on social media.
I'm supposed to get some plugs.
You're supposed to get something in.
You can follow me on Twitter at @JohnClayIV. You can go to Kentucky.com. By the way, we'll get an ad in here too. You can get a sports only subscription to Kentucky.com for $30. You get all of our sports coverage, UK, high school, whatever, for just $30. So be sure and check that out at Kentucky.com.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Subscribe and you'll get to read everything you want from John Clay every single day when his column in the Lexington Herald Leader at Kentucky.com. John, thanks again for joining us. Thanks again for listening. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at @BottomLineLex. And as always, until the next time, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.